You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, last week we started a new teaching series called Pray First. And here's the main idea of this series. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. We want to make prayer our first response, not our last resort. How would it change things if you prayed first? Think of all the things that we're tempted to do first in any given situation, to react first, to freak out first, to speak first, right? What would happen if we learned to, say it with me, pray first? Like, how would it change things if we invited God into every situation of our lives, into our marriages if you're married, into your financial decisions, into your relationships, into your career, into our daily lives? God, we're inviting you into every area of our lives. How would that change your life? I believe it would make a great difference in your life. And so that's the idea. We want to pray first. We want to make prayer our first response, not our last ditch effort, not our last and final response. Today, I want to talk to you about something that can really aid your prayer life, can really make your prayer life effective. And I want to talk to you about fasting because we introduced this last week that we're asking everybody, we want to invite everybody in our church family to do some form of fasting along with your daily time of prayer over these next 21 days. And I want you to think of fasting this way. Fasting is like adding fuel to the fire of your prayers. We want to couple our prayers with fasting to really pray effectively. And so let's talk about that. Talk about what fasting is, first of all. Fasting in the biblical sense, what we see in scripture is most traditionally substituting a meal, abstaining from food for a time of prayer. In its most basic form, that's what fasting is, okay? To substitute a meal, to abstain from a meal to pray. So we might put it this way. Fasting is abstaining from physical food for a spiritual purpose. It's abstaining from something physical that we need, food, to pursue a spiritual purpose. And so I want to help you with this today because I know for many of you, maybe you've heard about fasting, but it seems like something, you know, only really spiritual people do, like some monk who's locked up in his cell, like praying and fasting for days on end. I could never really do that. You know, it's kind of interesting that, you know, our world has kind of had this wholesale awakening to fasting. There's people doing intermittent fasting now to help lose weight. And a lot of people start their year off with a cleanse, right? Which is really just another form of fasting. Isn't it interesting that our culture kind of wakes up to what the people of God have known for thousands of years? And so this isn't a glorified weight loss program, although that's a nice added benefit. Can I get an amen, somebody? But this is about, what this is about is abstaining from physical food, not to get in shape, not to lose weight, but to focus on the spiritual, because we want to be in tune spiritually. We want to grow spiritually. We want our prayers to be effective. And so I want you to learn how you can embrace this practice in your life. Some of you have done this before. Some of you are completely new to fasting. Let me give you a scripture that's really powerful, that's going to set the tone for this message. And it comes from Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gave his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And he begins this sermon with the Beatitudes, right? This series of blessing statements and what it looks like to be blessed in the kingdom of God. Like, the blessing of God is on this type of person. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He says, "Blessed are those who," read this out loud with me, "who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." For those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, this is such a powerful analogy, isn't it? Hunger is such a powerful analogy because there is no more basic human longing than the longing for food. This represents one of our most basic human needs. Now, we are fresh off of the holiday season, aren't we? Where we are all very well aware of how easily we can overindulge and become slaves to our appetites. Is anybody with me? Come on, we're gonna have a little therapy session this morning, just be honest. We are all very well aware, right, of how easily we can give into our longings. Come on, some of you went into the holidays this year and you're like, this is the year I'm not gonna overdo it. I've been doing really good all year. I've been paying attention to my diet. I'm not gonna overdo it. this holiday season. Yeah, how'd that work out for you? How'd that work out for you? I don't know about you. I've been eating better this year. I was doing really good until just about a week before the holidays hit. And then people started sending me chocolates, like boxes of chocolates, right? And you know how boxes of chocolates work? Like you know, you try different ones and you read the little guide. Oh, this one's almond. Oh, this is good, right? And this one's salted caramel and this one's nougat. And you just think, I'm going to eat two or three. And before you know it, you done ate the whole box already. Come on. I had boxes of chocolates showing up at my house. And then, you know, I come to church and you think you'd get away from it, but we had donuts, beautiful donuts, Christmas Eve for Christmas at Redemption. Come on. How many of you know when you're trying to eat right and lose weight, donuts are an instrument of the devil. They are. Seriously. I was seeing donuts. I was like, get behind me. Get thee behind me, Satan. Man, I don't even eat donuts for breakfast. I eat yogurt and like eggs. I'm pretty healthy, but man, I had to have a few donuts. And then somebody sent me cannolis. Come on, how many of you know you cannot just eat one cannoli? Like it is physically impossible to eat one cannoli. What I learned is cannolis will start talking to you. If you try not to eat them, like I was hearing voices. They were like, eat me. You know, you got to eat the whole box. So I'm just saying, I'm, you know, coming off the holidays with a little extra winter insulation. I'm just saying. But we are all very well aware of just how easy it is to be slaves to our longing for food, right? For this powerful urge that we have when it comes to food. And here's what Jesus says. He gives us this powerful analogy. He says, take that same idea, right, of your longing for food. And he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness, who long for righteousness. Now, let's talk about that word for just a moment. What does this mean? What does this word righteousness mean? Well, the biblical sense of righteousness is, in a sense, basically what God deems right, both personally and socially, both like your own personal life between you and God and how you treat others. So we might put it this way. We might define righteousness as being in good standing with God. That's the basic biblical essence of this idea, to be righteous. Righteousness is to be in good standing with God. And Jesus says the blessing of God is on those who seek, who long to be in good standing with him. More than we care about what everybody else thinks about us, that we actually long to be right with God. That our will, that our decisions, that our priorities, right, are aligned with being right with him. The blessing of God is on those who orient their life around this, that the driving purpose of their life is to be right with God. See, Jesus understood that people will prioritize their lives around what they're longing for. Come on, how many of you know that's true? People will prioritize their lives around what they're longing for. Come on, people who are longing to be in a relationship, like that's their priority, and they're checking their dating profile on the app like every 20 times a day, right? And if you're trying to advance in your career, you're gonna work really hard. And if you have to go back to graduate school or put in some extra hours at the office, right? If you're trying to get in shape and you wanna look good in your bathing suit by this summer, you're gonna like put in the work, right? And you're gonna start doing some dieting and some exercise. And all those things are fine. It's just that Jesus understood how human beings are wired. And what we long for is what we will pursue, and we will prioritize our lives around that. Anybody with me this morning? And so he says the blessing of God is upon those who hunger and thirst, those who long to be in right standing with God. And so here's what fasting does. When we embrace fasting along with our prayer life, we're making a conscious decision to redirect our longings. And it's not that they're all bad. Some of them are good, but we're making a conscious decision to redirect our physical longings, the most basic human longing for food. We're redirecting that longing toward a higher and better purpose, being right with God, being close to him. That's what fasting is. In its simplest form, we're redirecting our longing toward God. And so here's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you some of the spiritual benefits of fasting, okay? I want to talk to you about why this is worth pursuing, and then we're going to end this with some practical things you can do to embrace fasting if you haven't done so already. This is a really good time to take out your phone or a piece of paper or whatever and take some notes. If you don't have the Redemption app, go ahead and get that from our website, and you can take some notes in the app. Here are a few principles I want to give you on the spiritual benefits of fasting. Here's the first one. Number one, fasting refocuses us on God. Fasting has a way, when we add fasting to prayer, it has a way of refocusing our lives, our perspective. It has a way of refocusing us on God. See, fasting is first and foremost an act of worship. It's something that we do to refocus on God and bring us closer to Him. It's not just some, you know, really spiritual, mystical thing that only the most spiritually elite people do. No, at its essence, it's about worship. It's about getting our eyes on Him. It's about getting our eyes on Jesus, on God the Father, on the Holy Spirit. And so in Scripture, we see a connection between fasting and worship. Look at this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 37, when Jesus was dedicated in the temple, when Mary and Joseph, his parents, brought him to the temple as an infant to be dedicated, there was an elderly prophetess there named Anna, and she was in the temple day in and day night for years praying. Look at what it says, Luke 2, 37. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. She was, in essence, at her heart, a woman of worship. Fasting and prayer was about worship for her. In Acts chapter 13, we read about the calling of the Apostle Paul when God set him apart to go out on his very first missionary journey. And there were prophets and teachers there in the church at Antioch. And here's what it says in Acts 13, 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work." Saul, who would later become Paul, "for the work which I have called them." See, there's a connection in Scripture between worship and fasting, fasting and prayer. And so fasting, let's put it this way, fasting has a way of shifting our focus from the horizontal to the vertical. That's a really good way to think about it. Fasting has a way of shifting our focus from the horizontal to the vertical. Because you and me, we live our everyday life with the horizontal so easily in front of us. And what do I mean by that? We so easily get consumed on the things that are all around us, on ourselves, on things, on circumstances, on other people, what other people think about us, and all of these other things. And so many times, if we're honest, there's important things that we're focused on, but sometimes there are things in our lives that we get so preoccupied on, and when it's all said and done, they don't even matter. Seriously. I mean, I'm a football fan. Some of y'all know this, right? And I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. And my Saints have broken my heart 3 years in a row now in the playoffs. And sometimes I find myself actually with depression. There must be some clinical, you know, diagnosis for being a Saints fan. But at the end of the day, it's just football. They're going to make millions of dollars, and I'm not going to get any of it. What am I worried about? Right? We get so preoccupied on the horizontal, on things that don't even matter. And so fasting has a way of shifting us from the horizontal to the vertical. Get your eyes on me is what God is saying. Look up here. Come on, I got something bigger for you. I've got greater things for you. And so when we fast and pray, it has a way of helping us to refocus on God, to tune into His voice, to have our minds renewed, to say, "God, I'm going to care about the things that really matter in life. I'm going to readjust my priorities around You and what You have for me, Your plan for my life. I'm going to quit worrying so much about what everybody else thinks about me. I'm going to care more about what You think about me. And I'm going to recognize that my whole life is one big act of worship lived for You." And so that's what fasting and prayer does. When you add fasting to prayer, it helps to refocus your life on God because it's a powerful act of worship. Here's the second thing. We're talking about some benefits of fasting, why this is actually worth doing, inconveniencing ourselves and actually doing some form of fasting. Number two, fasting reminds us that we're dependent on God. Fasting is a very powerful way of reminding us that we're dependent on God. In Scripture, read about how Jesus, before He began His ministry, He went into the wilderness, right? For 40 days, 40 nights, He actually fasted. Can you imagine how hungry He was? And I've been to the Holy Land, man, those desert regions, they're hot. And so here's Jesus, he's hungry, he's weary physically, right? He's out fasting. And we know that the Gospels tell us that Satan appeared to Him and began to tempt Him. And the first temptation was to tempt Jesus, "Turn these stones into bread." You know, if it was you and me, it would be donuts. Come on, turn these stones into donuts. By the way, you want to have a little fun? Just bring some donuts to your life group and watch everybody's New Year's resolutions get broken really fast. I'm just saying, don't do that. It's not nice. It is kind of fun though. And so Satan tempts Jesus and to kind of display His power. And look at how Jesus responded. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Imagine this. He's hungry. He's fasting. Matthew 4, verse 4. "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And this scripture that Jesus quotes to Satan. By the way, here's a sermon for another time, but it's really powerful when you quote the word of God back to the enemy when he tempts you. I'm just saying, you might want to hold on to that one. But Jesus begins to quote Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, which was a reference to when God provided manna from heaven. When the children of Israel were wandering in the desert, right? God provided, like, manna literally fell from heaven, and the people were dependent on God to feed them in the wilderness. What a powerful picture that is, right? What a powerful picture of dependence on God that Jesus gives us here. And so this is a reminder. Fasting has a way of reminding us of our dependence on God, that we are sustained by God, by his word, by his power, by his spirit, but by his presence in our lives. Because what happens is we get really, really self-reliant, don't we? Like, so easily we really get dependent on ourselves and how we can provide for ourselves and our talents and our abilities and our resources and our money and our job and our connections and all the things that we have going for ourselves. It's so easy to become really self-dependent and think you're all good. And you know, what happens is we kind of forget that we need God. That's what happens. We kind of drift left and we forget we need God until we hit a crisis and we're quickly reminded of how dependent we are on him. When somebody in your family that you love gets sick, you're quickly reminded of how dependent you are on God, right? If you lose your job, or you have some unexpected financial challenge in your life, or you go through a difficult season, come on, how quickly we're reminded, we're shocked back to our senses of just how dependent we really are on God. And we want to live with a sense of that. We want to wait till some tragedy happens, you know, some emergency happens. We want to live with a sense of dependence on God. And so fasting is a deliberate way to declare your dependence on God. You want to do something intentional that'll get your soul and your mind just in touch with how dependent you are on God. Begin to fast, because fasting is a way of saying to God with your very actions, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from your mouth. God, I'm going to live right now with a little less bread, and I'm going to focus on the one who gives me the bread. I'm going to focus on the creator of the bread. I'm going to focus on the one who sustains me, because as the apostle Paul said, it's in you that I live and I move and I have my being. So if I have to live with a little less bread right now so I can become more dependent on you, God, I'm going to do that, because I want to be reminded that I am dependent on you. You are my creator. You are the one who sustains me. It's a very powerful thing when you add fasting to your prayers. You'll pray a little bit more dependent on God. When you weaken the flesh, when you weaken that natural longing and you lean into the spirit side, something powerful happens. All right, here's the third thing. We're talking about some benefits to fasting, okay? The third thing is fasting brings freedom. Come on, everybody say freedom. Fasting can bring freedom in your life. Fasting has a really powerful way of revealing things in your life that are controlling you. Because in case you don't know this, there are sometimes things in your life that are controlling you without you even realizing it. Do you know sometimes you're angry at people and you're going off on people and you notice the anger because that's the manifestation, like that's the outcome, but maybe you don't even know why you're angry. Have you stopped and taken any time to just pray and just sit with those feelings for a while to ask yourself the question, why am I so angry? You might want to tug on that rope a little bit and find out what's at the end of it. Sometimes there are things that are motivating you, that are causing you to experience a certain, you know, something in your life, challenges, and you're dealing with the symptoms, but not the root cause. And when you add fasting to prayer, it has a very powerful way of revealing things that are controlling you. Come on, have you ever noticed how much hunger can control you? Anybody ever notice how much? Come on, where are the people you get angry when you're hungry? Let's be honest. Come on, some of the spouses are like elbowing. Yeah, like my wife is a really sweet person, like most days, right? She's naturally nicer than me. But I'm gonna tell you, when that girl gets hungry, Lord have mercy, her stomach starts growling, run for the hills, okay? Like some of you know that Snickers commercial, like you're not yourself when you're angry. Some of y'all are like that. You get hangry. You get that combination of hungry, angry. Yeah, you know who you are. And so it just has this is true. It's just got a hunger can control you. There is no more basic primal human longing, right, than the longing for food. And when you deny that longing, it has a powerful way of helping you get in touch with things that are controlling you. And so oftentimes what happens is when we fast and pray, it begins to reveal things that are controlling us: anger, and bitterness and hurts and somebody that we need to forgive and something we've been carrying around that we're not even paying attention to. Sometimes it'll reveal like substances in your life, like you don't even realize like you're drinking too much and you're using food to medicate yourself. Come on, you're not even just eating when, watch what happens when you're fasting. You realize how much you eat just for entertainment. When you begin to fast, you realize, oh my gosh, I eat all throughout the day. What am I doing? You'll begin to realize how much you medicate your problems with food. This is just part of what it is to be a modern day American person, right? We just go straight to the refrigerator. We medicate ourselves with food. Every now and then you might just do some ice cream therapy. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. And so when you begin to fast, it reveals sometimes things that are controlling us, selfish ambition and lust and pride and all of these things. It has a powerful way of helping you get in touch with really what's controlling you. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He said, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. That's such a powerful scripture, right? Like Paul recognized there was a struggle going on between his spirit man and his physical flesh, like his humanity, right? And so he had to, with the help of God, he had to get his body under control. And if we're not diligent, what happens is it goes the other way around, right? Your body begins to control you. And satisfying every longing of your body begins to control you. Come on, there are tons of people out there who think they're sophisticated, think they have their life all under control, and they don't even recognize how much they're just led by every bodily desire they have. Their body is running the show. Whatever it is that they're lusting after, whatever it is they're longing after, food, sex, whatever it might be, alcohol, they don't even realize how much it affects like most of their decisions. And so in a sense, when we fast, when we add fastings and prayer, we weaken the body. We weaken the physical man so we can strengthen the spirit. Because when you kind of turn down the control of the physical, you turn up the spiritual sensitivity that you have. Are you with me? That's what we want to do. We want to kind of turn down the control that the physical has over us, dominating us every day. And we want to turn up that little volume, that little knob that gets us more in touch with the spiritual. That's what fasting does. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, there's a battle going on in you. How many of you know there's a battle going on in your life between your spirit and your flesh? What we might call your spirit man and your flesh. Okay, you are a spiritual being. You are also a physical entity. Some might even add to that you also have a soul, right? Your emotions in your mind. There is more to you than just the body. And there's often a struggle going on between your body and your spirit. Okay? Paul said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so you gotta lean into the spirit side so that you don't gratify the desires of the flesh. There's a battle going on in your flesh. Come on, every time we get to a season like this, especially in the new year, when many of you are trying to get back on your diet, you're very well aware that there's a battle going on. Anybody with me? There's a battle, right? Your body is battling you for control. It's a battle that's there when we reach for an extra drink that we know we don't need. It's the battle that's going on when you take an extra glance at that person that you're not married to and you flirt a little bit with that person in the office. There's a battle going on in your body because your body wants to be in control. And so in fasting, it has a powerful way of allowing us to get that under control, to in a sense say to our body, I'm controlled by the Spirit of God. You don't control me, flesh. I'm controlled by the Spirit of God. I'm a child of God. I have the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. That's what happens. Oh, some of y'all aren't getting this morning. Fasting is better than you think. It's better than you think. When you add it to your prayers, you're going to say it's like jet fuel to the fire of your prayers. Your prayers are going to become more effective. So what you're doing in a sense is you're winning the war. You're winning the war with all of these desires that we have, this desire for our bodies to just kind of take control and pull us in whatever direction our bodies want to take us. You're weakening the physical side so you can lean more into the spiritual side. I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing. It's so interesting to me. It's so interesting to me that in the time we're living in right now, there's this kind of wholesale awakening to fasting. Like people, you know, dieting gurus and health gurus are realizing like there's a little powerful secret here. And I just always find it interesting that when the rest of the world kind of catches up to something like the people of God have known for like thousands of years, because this is all throughout scripture, all throughout Scripture. And so let me give you three steps that you can take to prepare for fasting, okay? I want to make this really practical for you. Three steps you can take to prepare for fasting. You can write these down. Number one, set your objective. Set your objective. I find it's really powerful to add a goal, an objective, like something that you're fasting for to give you some motivation. Like, what do you want to experience during this time? Let me give you some really good ideas that you might want to consider as you set your objective for fasting. One of them is one that we mentioned already, dependence on God. Part of what you can do is, God, I'm giving you this first part of the year. I'm set aside this time for prayer and fasting. And God, right at the beginning of the year, I want to acknowledge my dependence on you. God, I want to acknowledge that it's not about me. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what I'm going to face this year. God, I know there's going to be some good things. I know there's going to be some bad things. There's going to be some challenges. But God, right at the outset, I want to be dependent on you. I'm not fasting because I'm trying to be more spiritual than everybody else so I can feel good about myself. God, I'm fasting to declare my dependence is on you. My trust is in you. God, I cannot do this without you. Come on, how many of you discovered you cannot do this Christian life without him? God, I'm dependent on you. God, if I don't have the power of your Holy Spirit in my life, I am going to fail. If I want to grow spiritually this year, it's not about me trying hard. God, it's about me leaning more on you, being more dependent on your grace, more dependent on your mercy. So that would be a great objective for you. Dependence on God in this new year, every area of your life. Another great area is repentance. Just good old fashioned God. Just this is that being made right with God part. Like for forgiveness, as we begin to fast and pray, God, I just want to do a spiritual inventory of some of the things I've been struggling with, you know, in this season of my life. And we all have our stuff, right? Every one of us, when we just get alone and open and honest with God, we're very well aware of our shortcomings, of our failures. And so just do business with God. Just allow him to do a little bit of rehab on your soul. Amen. Come on, allow him to do a little rehab on your soul. God, I'm gonna ask for your forgiveness. I'm gonna allow you to search my heart. Fasting and prayer is one of the ways you do some rehab on your soul. Right now, I've been having some back problems, and Justin, who's one of our trustees and was up here playing guitar, he's helping me do some PT. By the way, if you need a good PT, I'll give him a recommendation. So Justin, you're gonna have to give me a commission off of this. I'm just saying. But he's been working on me, right? Getting my back stretched out and strengthening it. This is part of what fasting and prayer does, people. It's rehab for your soul. If you got injured, you would go out and work on it. You'd seek out a doctor. If you went to PT, if you want to feel better, you're going to do your stretches. You're going to do your routine. Why do we go through life with injured souls and we don't do rehab? We got to do rehab. And so get into the rehab with God, spiritual rehab, and rehab your soul, okay? Here's another beautiful thing you could focus on. Refocus your attention on things that matter. God, I'm fasting because I want to refocus on the eternal. I want to recognize that my life is short. The Apostle James said, your life is like a mist. It's like a vapor, like how quickly it dissipates. When you look at the backdrop of eternity, like your life is going by fast. And so God, I want to refocus on what you have for me, on the higher and better purposes you have for me. God, I want to make this year about things that matter. I want to focus on things that matter, on the people who are around me that I love, the people that you've given to me, the job you've given me to do. God, I want to lean more into things that matter and worry less about things that don't matter. That's a great idea for you. How about this? How about fasting for the presence of God in your life? God, I want more of you. I just want more of your presence in my daily life. I want more of your presence. I don't want to go to work without you. Don't want to try to go through life without you. Don't want to try to parent without you. Don't want to be married without you. Don't want to go to my career without you. Don't want to have relationships without you. I want your presence in every area of my life. How about believing God for specific answers to prayer? Maybe you want to set aside some things, like maybe you're praying for a financial need, or somebody in your family who's sick, somebody who needs healing, right? Or then you need a breakthrough if you're married in your marriage, or somebody else who's married, or there's some kind of strained relationship, some need, okay? So set your objective and your prayers will be more powerful. Your fasting will be more powerful. All right, number two, decide what type of fast you will do. This is super practical. Decide what kind of fast you will do. If you don't have a plan, you're gonna fail, okay? You gotta have a plan. And so we gave you some ideas last week. In its most basic form, fasting is substituting giving a meal for a time of prayer. Maybe you want to start off with giving up one meal for a time of prayer. My kind of go-to fast, I like to go from dinner to dinner. So that's something I do on a regular basis. So pick what works for you, okay? And set that time aside for prayer. Here's how it becomes really powerful. When you're not eating, now you have gained some time, use that time for prayer, okay? Some of you might want to do a Daniel fast. I know that's become very popular. If you don't know what that is, just Google Daniel fast. 1,000 ideas out there. It's fruits, vegetables, whole grains. I know some of you are doing a Daniel fast. It's also very healthy, but it's a great fast to do. It takes a lot of discipline. So maybe you want to do a Daniel fast for our remaining time. For those of you who can't fast, I know some of you medically, for your diet, whatever, you can't fast. A media fast is a great idea. Media fast, giving up just time with and television and social media and Netflix. I'll tell you, that's a powerful thing. I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't even have time to go off on this, but you unplug a little bit, it'll change you. It really will. And I'm not saying like I do social media, you know, I love it. I'm connected with you and it's all good. But there are times when you take a break and Netflix is wonderful. And Amy and I, we have some shows that we like to watch. Sometimes she gets me sucked into these girl shows, but we watch shows together, you know. And the thing is though, I'll tell you, I've really unplugged some this year. I took some of that stuff off my phone because I just needed a little more space, a little more time. It will renew your mind. You take a break from some of the things you're watching, you're going to realize how much junk. We're in touch with this with junk food. Be careful what junk food you're putting into your mind because it will make a difference in your life. I know some of you are like, oh my gosh, Pastor Jeremy's going to get old fashioned now. He's going to tell me what I can watch. I thought this was a young hip church. He's wearing skinny jeans. No, I'm going to be honest with you. Be careful what kind of diet you put in your mind. Be careful what you entertain in your mind. Some of you need to step back from some stuff and your mind is going to get renewed. And some of the things you're struggling with, you're going to recognize that, I need to be careful. I need to renew my mind. So there's one idea for some of you. Okay. Decide what kind of fast you're going to do. Here's the third thing. Expect results. Come on. We're going to expect results. We're going to fast and pray for spiritual breakthrough. We're going to pray through until we break through. Come on, say that with me. We're going to pray through until we break through. Say it one more time. Let the caffeine is kicked in and you actually believe it. We're going to pray through until we break through. Come on. We're not praying little sissy prayers this year. Oh Lord, now I pray if maybe you might just show up in my life. If you're really up there and maybe you're just powerful enough, now I lay me down to sleep. We're not going to pray a bunch of sissy prayers. No, we're going to petition God. God, I'm believing for you to show up in my life. God, I'm believing you are all powerful. God, I'm believing nothing is too difficult for you. God, you can do anything. And so I'm praying with expectation. I'm praying for a breakthrough. And some of you are going to experience healing in your body, in your soul, in your heart. Some of you, like, you're praying for someone else in your family to experience healing. For some of you, you're gonna experience that righteousness thing, that holiness thing, that being made right with God. Like, God, you're gonna just have a sense, God, I'm closer to you, and I've done business with you. I've done some rehab on my heart and soul. I've made some things right with you. Some of you, you're gonna experience just help, just good old help. Come on, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, and he's gonna give you grace. He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you peace. And you're going to have a sense, I can do it. I can make this. I'm not by myself. God, you are with me. And come on, how many of you know you can get through anything if you have a sense that God is with you? And so let me just remind you this scripture one last time. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? It's a scripture that comes with a promise, for they will be filled. You will be filled. You will be filled. God will meet you. God will meet you as you long for him, as you cry out to him, as you pray and you get his attention through fasting and you turn down the physical and you turn up the spiritual. God will meet you and you will be filled with what you need. More of his presence in your life. Amen. Come on, how many of you want that this morning? I really want to encourage you. Give it a shot this week. Step out, embrace it in some form. Just try it and just begin to see how it just adds fuel to the fire of your prayer life and you draw closer to him. Amen. Let me pray for you. Stand up. The worship team's coming back to lead us in a final song. Let's just ask God to help us, to give us strength to do this. Amen. Come on, pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And Lord, today we're coming asking your help, God. God, we know that in our weakness, you are made strong. And God, it's not easy for us to do things like prayer and fasting sometimes, God. Sometimes we're weak, God. Sometimes we don't want to do it. We don't make time for it. We're so controlled by our daily routine and our appetites. Lord, in our heart of hearts, we're here today because we long to know you, God. We recognize today that we cannot do this life without you, and we need you, God. We want to be closer to you. We want to be the people that you're calling us to be this year. And so, Father, I pray that you give your people strength. God, I thank you that as we draw near to you over these next few days, you will draw near to us. And Father, I pray for breakthrough. We're believing for breakthrough, God, for healing, for freedom, for peace, for strength, for financial provision. Lord, you know all of the needs that we have. And Lord, we're going to pray through until we break through. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, would you say?
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.